Attention, patriots. Broadcasting from the Free Zones, Radio Free Redoubt begins in 5, 4, 3, 2.
Morning, God-fearing, liberty-loving patriots. This is Radio Free Redoubt, and we are broadcasting on 96.5 FM and AM 630 out of Spokane. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning, everyone. This is Lady Liberty. We hope that you're having a fantastic start to your Thursday morning.
Yeah.
And enjoying the sun still.
That's right. It's in full effect. Enjoy it while it lasts.
That's the name of August, isn't it? You know, I mean, there's just no getting around it. And, you know, hey, if you're at the lake, that's exactly what you want anyway, you know? So,
no kidding.
Of course, we're not at the lake.
No, we're here doing this for you guys so you can enjoy your time at the lake while you're listening to us, having your cup of coffee, sitting around the campfire, trying to figure out how you're going to spend the rest of your day.
That's right.
Unless you're not on vacation. You are actually on your way to work. And in that case, we wish you guys have a blessed week. And it has been a blessed week. We've had some great victories. Lauren Culp for governor.
Yep. Hooray right? for that.
Yes. So I'm excited about that. Now, there is something before we get to the
word of the day.
Well, the word of the day. Speaking of politics, I just thought I'd throw out there, it could be a major setback for us because it appears that Joe Biden has received a major endorsement. I'm not sure how we're going to get over this one, but apparently this just came out in lawenforcementtoday.com yesterday. The leader of the U.S. Communist Party just endorsed Joe Biden for president.
Wow.
What do we? Trump
well,
better.
He better endorse him. He's representing him.
Right, he is. Exactly. Now, that's somebody who's going to make campaign promises, who's actually going to keep his word
as far as
all the stuff he's going to do for
that
donor. So, yeah, well, it's going to be tough.
Give his name, by the way?
Yeah. I could open it back up. I just closed it out. Yeah, I'll tell you
well,
what.
Well, that's okay.
We'll come back to that.
Okay. All right. Well, so for the word of the day for Thursday is out of Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16, which read, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine." Oh, I'm sorry. "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven."
Outstanding. Matthew 5.
Verses 14 through 16.
14 through 16.
Yep.
Let your light shine. That's a great one.
That's right. And by letting your light shine and give glory to the Father in heaven. So if you're out there and you're walking your faith and you're letting your light shine before men, that glorifies the Father. So
yeah.
I think that's an awesome little bit. In fact, I have that hanging on my wall. So
yes.
Yep.
Yes, you do. Okay. So where were we? Let me pull it up. Okay. The head of the U.S. Communist Party has come out in support of Joe Biden for president. Apparently, they think Joe Biden is the man for the job to help the communists achieve their goals. Bob Avakian, leader of the Revolutionary Communist Party USA, asked voters to deliver a decisive defeat to Trump and the whole fascist regime. Avakian, who has led the group since 1979, said in a statement, "At this critical hour, every appropriate means of nonviolent action must be utilized to remove this regime from power."
You know, can I just say something really fast? There's some odd thing going on with this whole term of fascist and fascism lately, because the true definition of it, nobody from the left seems to understand what the true definition of fascism is,
right?
Like, they just they're using it as a descriptive word, kind of like synonymous with terrible, right? So whatever their opinion of terrible is, they're calling fascist, and that is not the definition of fascism. And we've given the simple version of the definition of fascism, which is Mussolini's definition, which he said was when government works in tandem with corporations to control the people to the benefit of the government and the corporations and never to the people.
Right.
And so,
like, an example would be, let's say a judge upholds that the government can't deny you firearms ownership, right? Because it violates the Constitution. But the bank, working with all these cronies, this deep state, right?
Right.
So the bank, or say an insurance company, cancels your insurance because you have firearms in the home, and their underwriter said they can't carry your policy if you own firearms,
right?
Or they'll close your business if it's a firearms related business, if it's a bank.
Right.
So it's a private entity carrying out the will of those that are in government, but they can't legally, lawfully do. So they will go around that by using corporations to enforce.
That's right. And that's exactly what we're seeing with this, the mask mandates and stuff that the corporations and businesses are actually trying to carry out as, you know, them being the law enforcers, you know.
Yes.
And so that right there is the perfect example of fascism. And not only that, but fascism also has been recoined under the globalists' terminology as public-private partnerships.
Yes,
which is the same exact definition that Mussolini gave, only they've, you know, just like with their term for communism and perestroika that redefined communism is no longer said anymore. They don't say communism. Now they say democratic socialist.
Right.
It means the same thing. They just change the word and they're off and running. And so same thing with fascism. They change the word from fascism to public-private partnerships.
Right.
It still means exactly the same thing. And now nobody knows why public-private partnerships are so horrible.
Right.
And those are just
repackaged.
Yes. And each time it just slips right under the wire and gets right into all of our daily lives. And we don't even know what it is or what's happening.
Right. So this dichotomy that we have here with Antifa or anti-fascists, is the name of their organization is the anti-fascists. Now, that came from the 1930s. Those were communists, those that are influenced by Leninism, Marxism, within Germany, that wanted to bring in communism, which is in direct competition with Hitler's socialism and Mussolini's fascism.
Right.
They wanted total communism. So they were resisting the Nazis and the fascists because they thought that communism was a much better model to govern.
Right.
So. But the National Socialists or Nazis and the fascists in Italy had a better public messaging campaign. So people were accepting that. Yeah, I think socialism is better and fascism is better than communism. Okay,
right.
So,
talk about it's all about the salesmanship, right?
Exactly. So hence the street level thugs called Antifa, anti-fascists in Europe rose up to advance communism, screaming against communism, against fascism and against Nazism. So they're using the exact same messaging today, except they're calling someone who voted for President Trump a Nazi.
Right.
Or a fascist. They don't even know what a fascist is anymore or a socialist is anymore.
Exactly, because they're not teaching them the proper history anymore.
Right.
They're not teaching them true history at all. It's like all made up. You know, I mean, the stuff that my son was exposed to in his history classes just about made my, I don't know, I about screamed when I read what they're teaching in the current history classes. And everything was pro-communism, anti-American.
Yep.
And I just could not believe it, especially since my dad was a history teacher. And he's just rolling over in his grave over this, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But just that, you know, so like we're saying, so these young kids that are not even being taught their history, you know, the actual history of fascism and stuff. And so, you know, for them to just say that, you know, well, we think that fascism is just anything that we don't like, you know, and so we're anti that, whatever that is, you know, and so, you know, anything and everything can be a fascist now, you know,
if the sign or the meme tells you that's fascist or Nazi, that's what it is. Right.
Yeah. Right.
Now, if you look at their logos and their signs, they're identical.
Those are the same. Yes.
From the 1930s and today is the same. Now, check this out. They're down with the system, right? Down with the government, down with control, down with the system. They want anarchy. They want all of this stuff. Break the chains off of us. Let us have our own way. Let us forge our own destiny. But get this. Remember the lockdowns? All the businesses had to be shut down?
Yeah.
Okay, so the Patriots rose up and said, open up our businesses and open up our economies. It's time. Freedom is the cure. Let us open our businesses. So all of these citizens would have these big rallies with hundreds of people to demand that the government allow them to open their businesses again. And who comes to respond as a counter protest? But the what's now BLM, but the Occupy and the Black Lives Matter, the Occupy and the Antifa and those groups came to counter protest against those that are calling for the government to allow them to open up their businesses.
Right. Right. Exactly. And what is, you know, even if Black Lives Matter was truly a movement about people who care about black people, right? If that truly was the backbone of that movement, why on earth would they have anything against businesses being open? Right. That has no subject matter relation at all.
Right.
You know, and so just the fact that they showed up and that was their intent shows that it's not about that.
Right.
Shows that it's strictly about communism, because communism is the one that says no property rights, no individual rights, and economic suppression in a massive way. So,
yeah. So let's take a look at this Communist Party endorsement of Joe Biden real quick. And another couple of things that this communist revolutionary leader says, quote, at this critical hour, every appropriate means of nonviolent action must be utilized to remove this regime from power. Okay, so let's keep something straight. You don't get to say nonviolent action and get off the hook.
Right.
Because there are plenty of non-violent direct action measures that are acts of war.
Yep.
If you break into somebody's banking system and siphon off money from a nation, that's an act of war.
Right.
If you counterfeit their currency to devalue it intentionally with the hopes of destroying that nation's economy, that is an act of war. Okay. Anything you do to subvert a legitimate sitting government with the intent of replacing it with something else, just because it's nonviolent, quote unquote, does not mean it's not an act of war.
That's right.
It is absolutely an act of war.
A coup is a coup.
Communist revolutionaries are working to act unlawfully. FBI, listen, I know you're listening. Listen up. They are attempting to overthrow our government, all right, using nonviolent means. That does not, they don't get a free pass just because it's nonviolent. Besides that, the nonviolent thing is also a lie.
Well, exactly. And that was what I was going to say next, was that in these hearings with the U.S. Attorney General William Barr, all of the left is saying these nonviolent protesters are just, you know, and
protesters and exercising their First Amendment rights.
Right. And William Barr says, no, that is not what I saw at all. Those were not protesters. Those were rioters launching projectiles.
Yep.
He said, the second a protester starts launching projectiles, they're no longer protesting. They're rioting. He said, and that's what we were watching, was riots.
That's right. That's right.
So the fact that they're continuing to try to label it as nonviolent and all this other nonsense, I mean, that's what they do. I mean, the communists, their baseline of attack is deception.
Up to 2 years ago in 2017, when Antifa was using violence in Berkeley to try to stop conservative pundits from speaking at the invitation of organizers to these these political events, and they were exercising violence. The leaders there, many of them were tied in and direct professors of the university, were literally using the phrase, by any means necessary.
Yep.
We have to stop these fascists, these Nazis, these conservatives, these Christians, these patriots, by any means necessary. That includes violence, and which they demonstrated.
Right, and they have been demonstrating regularly.
Yeah, yeah. They've been the only thing that people said, these aren't demonstrations, these are riots. No, they're demonstrating violence. They're demonstrating their willingness to use violence to overthrow our government.
Any means necessary.
By any means necessary.
Yep.
Well, hey, let's take a break and come back, and we're going to continue. We've got a couple things to talk about. Some pushback that's happening here in the American Redoubt, right?
That's right. Yeah. Super exciting.
Yeah. And so the pushback is great. We're going to push. We are going to resist this coup and this communist revolution every step of the way.
That's right. We are called to be courageous, strong, and bold in the Lord. And like David, we're going to do it.
That's exactly what we're going to talk about when we come back. All right, this is the voice of the American Redoubt. Don't go too far away.
The truth is plain to see. If you want freedom, take pride in your country. If you want democracy, hold on to your sovereignty. And if you want peace, love your nation. Wise leaders always put the good of their own people and their own country first. The future does not belong to globalists. The future belongs to patriots.
Hi, everyone. John Jacob Schmidt here. On behalf of myself and Lady Liberty, we thank you all for the opportunity to expand our reach and for requesting to have us on the radio daily. Unfortunately, with the exciting growth also comes growing costs. If you have a business, organization, or other enterprise, and you'd like to help us get your name out there by partnering with us and helping us to offset some of our production costs, contact us at johnjacob@radiofreeredoubt.com to find out how. Again, that's johnjacob@radiofreeredoubt.com. Welcome back to the Morning Commute with JJS and Lady Liberty, Radio Free Redoubt production. And we are grateful for you all being there with us. This segment is brought to you by Katie Armor. That's C-A-T-I as in come and take it. Katie Armor, serious body armor for serious times. All right, Lady Liberty, we are speaking of doing by all means necessary and nonviolent action. We must remove this presidency. And, well, it's the time's coming for the patriots to be brave.
That's right.
And courageous, because these guys are bold. They're just in your face.
Right.
Arrogant, so sure of themselves, so demanding of us just to surrender our nation, our Christian, God-given, what a blessing of a nation, to hand it over to them.
Right. Well, okay, so there's something that people would really behoove themselves to read. And just right off the bat, everyone, whether I don't really even care what your background is, this will serve you in so many different areas of your life. Pick up a copy of Sun Tzu's The Art of War. That is just a fantastic strategic book about how to deal with these circumstances. Because what we're watching happen with the communist plan in America is they're using all of Sun Tzu's strategies. And the UN has been using Sun Tzu strategies for the past, 70 years now?
Right.
And so it really would behoove us all. That's part of my Know Your Enemy series, where if you want to know your enemy, learn what they're doing in their war tactics, right?
Yes.
So that you can recognize what's happening around you when you see it. And so my property rights group and I, we went through quite a bit of Sun Tzu strategy. And there are so many different times we went, oh my gosh, that's what they're doing to us, you know? And so in the fight back and the pushback, it helps to be strategic and smart about what you're going to do. And when we were talking about what do people do when we're faced with fascism, when the corporations are trying to enforce the law against the people, when that's not even legal. That is not even legal according to Article 4, Section 4 of our U.S. Constitution that says we're guaranteed a Republican form of government. And they're practicing fascism by doing that, whether they know it or not. That's right. What they're doing. And so they need to be held accountable because that is what our law says and that's how our law protects us. And so how does one fight against this mask mandate, right? And so we were discussing, well, truly the most effective way to deal with this would be to have class action lawsuits against corporations as well as individual lawsuits against elected officials who are telling these people to do this through mandates, right?
Right.
So both need to be held accountable in a court of law. And so this, I thought this was really fantastic to see this news from Readout News in an article called Lawsuit Filed Against Mask Mandate. And this is written by Sherry Duvalle, who's just a fantastic author. So what this information describes is that the Panhandle Health Board passed an order mandating face coverings to be worn throughout Kootenai County in Idaho. And so there instantly in this meeting, there was a ton of questions that people had. And there were two guys that decided they wanted those questions answered in a court of law. And they went and they found an attorney, and they have filed a suit against the Panhandle Health District and each of the board members individually. And
So
this lawsuit alleges that there were several violations of the Idaho open meeting laws. Therefore, the order that they mandated is null and void.
Right. The results of this meeting, the mask mandate, is null and void because the process that they used to hold the meeting was done illegally, so it makes any agreement they had reached in that meeting null and void. That's the gist. I mean, I'm trying to reword
right. Yes, that's exactly
the way
right.
I understand it.
Okay. Yeah, and it's such a brilliant strategy that they're using here because, granted, they're not using Article 4, Section 4, but they could. I mean,
right.
They could if they wanted to refer to that.
It'd be nice to drag that, like, slide that in during this
that's
case
right.
in the court hearing.
That's right.
To insert that as an argument.
Make it a pivotal point.
Yep.
Yep, exactly. So what we can do is we can keep you updated and post any kind of progress that is made on this lawsuit. I just find it very intriguing that somebody has the spine and the go get them to just jump out there and get their attorney and file the lawsuit. And they've already started it. So I just want to congratulate the both of those men for jumping on board and doing the right thing right away.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I think that's really cool. And we'll just continue to watch that. Now, when we were talking about before the break, how bold and courageous they are, and these guys are being bold and courageous. They're initiating the process of the lawsuit, like we're talking about. But also, it's a heart issue, and this is something we may not have time to really dive into, you know, here in the last three and a half minutes. And that is being bold and being courageous.
Right.
So there's one of our favorite articles is in the Bible is comes out of the book of Judges. And it's one of my favorite. Judges chapter 7, 1 through 8. Now, there's a story about 300 men who stood in the gap against the enemy, against all odds, and they were Greeks, and they got annihilated. They actually made a movie out of it, but that was a real battle. And in that battle, they all got wiped out.
Right.
The 300 men who stood against all odds, they were wiped out. Now, there's another story of 300 men where they were brave. And the difference is these, not to say the Greeks weren't brave when they stood, you know, up against the Persian king, but one, they had God on their side, and another one, they didn't. And that's the difference.
Right.
So with Gideon, he ended up with 300 brave, but how did he get them? There was a process.
Yep.
Right? So do you want to pick up from there, or?
Well, yes. Okay. So this is one of yours and my favorite stories ever.
Yes.
You know, because this shows what's possible with the Lord, you know, and the fact that the story of Gideon starts with him having, what was that number? Is it 23,000 men? 22,000 men that Gideon had in his army that was going to go with him up against the Midianites. And what is interesting is right there from the get-go, it says, "And the Lord said to Gideon, 'The people who are with you are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel claim glory for itself against me, saying, My own hand has saved me. Now, therefore, proclaim in the hearing of the people, saying, whoever is fearful and afraid, let him turn and depart at once from Mount Gilead.' And 22,000 of the people returned and 10,000 remained." So I guess I misspoke. It was actually 32,000 people, and 22 of those people went running home.
22,000 people. So this is what he said. Hey, whoever's afraid, because you guys are up against, there's 32,000 of you that are going to go up against 135,000 Midianites, warriors.
Yeah.
Okay. So anybody afraid? A few hands went up. A few thousand more hands went up. Yeah. Okay. Whoever's afraid can go home right now. The rest of you remain. And so that left Gideon with 10,000.
10,000.
God said, well, that's still too many. You guys are still going to be able to say, well, it's because, well, look how many. There's 10,000 of us. But we're going to whittle this down some more. So as it was, or as it were, he ends up, and we're out of time now, right? Once again,
getting into
something really cool. We'll talk more about this tomorrow. This is what we were, you know, one of the things we were excited to talk about. Yeah. 300 men with God on their side up against 135,000 Midianites of courageous warriors. That's what we need.
Yep.
But anyway, folks, you have a great rest of the day. We'll continue this conversation tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. on The Morning Commute with JJS and Lady Liberty. Until then, you have a blessed rest of the day.
That's right. Many blessings to all of you, and have a great Thursday.